Well, the only way you're going to thrive is to continually grow every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year. And sometimes we might hit a speed bump and go down a little bit, just like I did in my journey. But that's an opportunity to get up, dust yourself off, and find a different path to go and grow with.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Trevor McGregor is a high-performance master coach with over 25,000 hours of coaching experience under his belt. He has worked with clients from around the world, including Fortune 500 executives, high-level real estate investors, entrepreneurs, world-class athletes, and business professionals, and they all come to him for one reason: life-changing transformation. Trevor is also an active and passive real estate investor, holding assets in his portfolio that range from owning single-family homes to multifamily apartment buildings all over the U.S., self-storage units in Key West, Florida, and even an agricultural hemp farm in Colorado. Trevor lives with wife, Lisa, and their three amazing boys in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Trevor, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness, what a bio. Thank you so much for having me on, and great to be with you today.
Do you ever look at it and go, is that actually me or is that someone else?
I'll tell you, that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in order to get to where I've got to, but that's the real deal. And yes, I'm blessed and grateful to have had quite a journey in real estate, quite a journey in coaching, and quite a journey in life.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. Let's rewind to whenever this journey began. And as you look at that journey, would you say, I didn't ever expect to wind up where I am, or this is exactly where I intended on showing up?
Oh, no, this is absolutely unscripted. And, you know, growing up in Canada, Sam, all I ever wanted to do was be an NHL hockey player. I mean, that's kind of the Canadian kid's dream. I played hockey at a very high level, loved hockey, loved all sports, but I soon found out I didn't have the size to go any further. So I traded in my skates, you know, for books, went to university and college, studied business. And like everyone else, you go and you start your journey in the corporate arena. And that's exactly what I did. I studied business, went to work for this corporation. And through my 20s and almost by the time I was 30, I was literally living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, trying to, you know, climb that corporate ladder. And that's really where the story starts.
What was the turning point when you said there has to be a better way?
Well, you know, the college, you get through your mid-20s, your late-20s, and you're looking at where you want to be, and you're looking at the paycheck that comes in and basically goes out to pay the visa, the mortgage, the car payments, and feed the babies. And I just knew there had to be more, but I wasn't sure how. And that's where I thought, wow, I'm at that age, just about 30 years old, where I better, you know, make some changes. And so around that time, the owners of the business I was working in, they came to me and said, Trevor, we love the work you're doing. You know, we really believe in you. We'd like to offer you to come in as a partner. And I thought, wow, Sam, this is my chance to get rich. It's going to be able to become an investor, an owner in a hospitality company. And that's literally what I did. I scraped together all of my savings, cashed in my 401k, and I even convinced my own parents to take out a second mortgage on the family home, a six-figure second mortgage.
Wow.
And I dumped all of that money into this big restaurant and hospitality expansion. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to retire rich and young. And, you know, about a year and a half into that whole thing, the economy imploded around 9/11. We were expanding way too fast in five major cities in Canada. To make a long story short, we couldn't hang on. And I lost all of that money that I put into the expansion, every cent of it.
Ooh, that's a great way to start your 30s.
It's a fabulous way, especially when you're married and you got two kids. So there I was, you know, broke. I gained a bunch of weight and I started to have a dust up in my marriage. And I don't know if you or the listeners have ever been broke, been carrying around a little bit too much weight, or ever had a dust up in their marriage. But I was at one of the lowest points in my life and I wasn't sure how I was going to kind of pay back all of these loans, let alone tell my parents I'd lost all that money.
Right. My goodness. My goodness. So keep the story rolling here. This is fabulous because this is not your life today.
No, it's not. And that's where the turning point happens. Because what do you do when you're down and out? What do you do when you hit rock bottom? Well, you seek guidance. And thank God for me, I found a coach. And this coach was an amazing man. He said, what happened to you, Trevor, is unfortunate, but you got to get up, dust yourself off, and keep on keeping on. And I, you know, started to read some books, started to work with him, started to listen to audios, but I still wasn't sure how I was ever going to pay this back. And then on one of our sessions one day, Sam, he said to me, have you ever thought of investing in real estate? And I said, real estate? I don't know anything about real estate. And he said, Trevor, you can use other people's money buy a property, fix it up, either rent it out or refinance, sell it, move on, duplicate it. And that's exactly what I did. I started out scraping more money together and borrowing off of other family and friends. And I bought one little condo, and that was a good experience. Took the money I made out of that and bought a townhouse. Took the money out of both of those, and I bought my first duplex. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever discovered cash flow, it's an amazing thing. And that's where I thought, wow, duplexes are amazing. Went on to buy another one. And then I started to buy fourplexes and more fourplexes, then got into single family homes. And in just 2.5 years, not only did I pay back all of those failed loans, but I had a nice cash flowing real estate portfolio on top of it. And again, that was the start of my aha moment where I knew I was going to be in real estate, and I was indebted to my coach who made it all possible. And that's where the story gets even better.
Yeah, that's intriguing. And I'd love to hear where the story gets better from that point forward, because it almost seems at some point the roads diverged where you ended up going into coaching and not so much as into real estate. But yet, apparently that's not the case.
That's correct. In fact, it's absolutely both, because around that time, people started coming up to me and saying, Trevor, you know, how are you doing this? How are you buying these properties? How are you amassing this wealth? And I started to share it with everyone I know. I mean, it was my son's baseball coach and my other son's soccer coach that I taught him and his wife what I was doing. And within 1 month, they went out there and bought their first rental property. Within 3 months, they bought their second. And in that year, they had 3 cash flowing rental properties. And so people would come to them and say, well, how did you do it? And they'd say, go see Trevor. And I think that that's when the coaching bug bit. And around that same time, Sam, I was also working with a coach from the Anthony Robbins Corporation. You know, Tony Robbins.
Sure.
And he said to me, Trevor, you're so good at business. You're so passionate about people. And you know, all of this stuff about real estate. Did you know that Tony Robbins is looking for more business coaches? Would you ever consider coming in and working part-time for Tony? And I thought, well, I'd love to, but I'm not really an official coach. And he said, look, we'll teach you, we'll train you, we'll get you up to speed. And so I literally put my resume into Tony Robbins. I did get hired. I went on to work part-time, soon fell in love with it because Tony started to give me all of the real estate people. And that's when the coaching bug really bit. And I left everything I was doing, went to work for Tony Robbins full-time for over half a decade, became one of his master platinum coaches, and I fell in love with helping other people do what I was doing in business and real estate. And then in 2017, I left Tony Robbins to open my own coaching practice, Trevor McGregor International. And I've literally been coaching real estate investors all over the globe for the last, 6 years. And I've been building my real estate portfolio every week, every month, every year as we go. And that brings us to today.
That's fantastic. So in 2017, up to that point, you were doing full-time coaching and not necessarily doing real estate. And then you said, all right, look, we're going to shift gears and go back to doing as much real estate as I can and all the coaching I can.
That's it. Yeah, I was really wearing 2 hats. I was, you know, again, married with 3 beautiful children, you know, traveling, doing a lot of keynote speaking, just again, joint venturing with people. You know, and I kind of left that whole single family and multifamily in Vancouver thing and started to go out there, you know, and buy multifamily apartment buildings in Dallas, in Austin, in Tampa, in Memphis, all active and part, you know, passively through some of these other real estate rock stars like yourself, who really do see real estate as one of the greatest ways to make impact and income on the planet. And as I started to get more, you know, apartments under my belt, I thought, wow, let's diversify. I went and did some self-storage, went and did the agricultural hemp farm, started to play with resort property in Costa Rica. And my wife, Lisa, and I, we've invested as far away as, you know, Brisbane, Australia, all real estate related, all knowing that, you know, real estate, again, isn't really about real estate. It's about relationships. And if you really understand that, and I know you do, it's amazing to see how you leverage those relationships and you leverage those people as professional pillars to help you win the game of business, the game of real estate, and the game of life.
Was there ever a consideration for you of saying, I'm going to hang up the coaching thing and just do real estate? Or is it that the coaching business or the coaching side of things is what fuels your real estate?
It's really the latter. It's really that I get fired up about seeing other people go out there and make things happen. And oftentimes, you know, I'll JV with a partner or I'll throw some money into a syndication deal. And it's not so much about the deal. It's that I'm betting on the person. I'm believing in that person. And I've put a lot of, you know, real estate investors together. You know, I'm coaching somebody over here that's looking for a partner, and I'm known as a connector. So oftentimes I'm merging people and creating something out of nothing where three heads are better than two or two heads are better than one. And I'm telling you, it's been the sweet spot where I get to get up every day and coach people all over the US, the UK, Italy, Australia, even as far away as Asia, watching them do something in real estate. And at the same time, you know, being a coach, a teacher, a mentor, a trainer, because I've been through enough real estate deals that haven't worked out, as well as some real estate deals that have worked out, you know, famously. So I really do believe that there is no failure. There's only feedback. That's that great quote, you know, and I really do believe that sometimes we can learn more by just taking that action and going out there and, you know, putting in letters of intent, making offers, driving neighborhoods, talking to brokers, going to meetups, listening to great podcasts like this, where, you know what, it compounds until we start to learn what not to do and what we should do to make things happen. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's funny. You're either reading my mind or, I don't know, I've telegraphed this somehow, because my next question for you was going to be, you know, maybe not necessarily phrased this way, but now that you said it, the failure feedback loop. Walk us through that and maybe give us an example of a failure feedback loop and how you utilized it.
Well, absolutely. And again, I think you know some of the people I've coached, so I'll, you know, bring some real estate examples in. And you might know my client, Joe Fairless, right? Joe Fairless from the best ever real estate brand. You know, I started coaching Joe before he could even, you know, think of buying an apartment. I mean, he had no apartments, no books, no podcasts. He owned four single family homes in Texas. And fast forward to today, Joe has over, gosh, 14,000 doors and $1.4 billion in assets under management. It's absolutely mind blowing. And so I didn't just learn from my own feedback, but I'd look at what Joe is doing and look at what Sally was doing and look at what all these other people are doing. And I soon found out that there were things you should do and things that you shouldn't do. So my feedback mechanisms have come off the, you know, I guess the opportunity to really work with millionaires and billionaires, because Tony Robbins says success leaves clues. And also some of the hiccups that Joe has gone through, or Sally has gone through, or Bob's gone through, or I've gone through, where you literally, you know, kind of cross-pollinate and start seeing again what to absolutely stay away from. And then conversely, what to move towards. And I think that that's been, you know, part and parcel of what's allowed us to achieve a fairly phenomenal level of success in the last 10 years.
Talk to us about the success leaves clues principle. What are some kind of cross-discipline success clues, either in real estate or even some of the other business owners that you've coached? Again, that you've, maybe I'm just making this really long question, but what are some of those success clues that you see across all disciplines?
Well, I'd like to absolutely frame it backwards, because what I'm going to share with you and the listener is profound. Because guys, there's only five things that ever hold anybody back from scaling in real estate, right? And as I share these five things, I want you to think about it for you, Sam, or I invite the listener to think about them, because these are universal. Doesn't matter if you're a newbie to real estate or an intermediate in real estate or an expert. These five things, you know, I don't care who you are, you're probably going to find them very familiar. And we kick it off with the first thing that most people are challenged with, called limiting beliefs, right? You know it. I know it, that people have their own cobwebs in their brain that stand in the way of them going from where they are to where they want to be. Like, you know, it's hard to find good deals, or all the good deals are gone, or what if I lose money? Or what if I don't run the asset or manage the asset properly, right? And so they're focused on what they don't want, instead of us finding that the successful ones focus on what they do want. They get clear on what they don't want, but they don't camp out and focus on that. They shift it 180 degrees through the law of polarity, and they go, here's what I do want. Here's the market I want to be in. Here's the asset class. Here's my price per door. I want to do it with these partners. And, you know, they get after it. And then through, you know, cause and effect, they create their own reality. So number one is check in with your limiting beliefs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Number two.
Number two is what I call a lack of a strategic plan, right? Most people spend more time planning their trip to Mexico than they do their, you know, real estate world. So what I like to do is start with the end in mind. What do you really, really, really want? And what's preventing you from getting there? And then we reverse engineer that all the way back to today, where we take a look at what do you need to do in the short term? That's anything from today up to a year. What do you need to do in the long term? Long-term for me is anything from 1 to 5 years, right? And anything beyond 5 years, Sam, is what I call your vision for your business and your life. So once we get rid of those limiting beliefs, and once we create the strategic plan, that's the 1-2 punch that gets us on the way to success.
Yeah. And that's so critical. I mean, part of that strategic plan is also answering, you know, I think we've also heard it called your why.
That's it. You bet. When the why is big enough, the how just starts to show up, right? And lots of people don't really know why they're doing what they're doing. They think they're doing it for the money, when the money is secondary. What I always say is that money is secondary to the impact that you're going to make, because where there's impact, there's income. So when you want to go out there and better a property, rehab a property, give a tenant a better life in that property, you know, do some value add stuff like swimming pools, dog parks, carports, or whatever, that's where we create value in real estate. And that's where we're able to monetize it and then live a different lifestyle from.
Right. Yeah. And that's interesting. You bring up the topic of money. I was just reading something about that earlier. And it's obviously a topic that I have a friend of mine that says, if you want to know something about someone, and this may be divisive here when I say this, but we're just going to get it out there. He said, if you want to know anything about anyone, know these three things: how they treat food, how they treat sex, and how they treat money. It's one of the three things that goes down into your core and affects you in ways that you don't understand. So I guess this is a high dollar business, right? It's a high dollar business, and you can get filthy rich doing it. How do you keep your focus in line such that the money isn't necessarily the end goal? I mean, it's part of the why, but not entirely. So how does someone work around that and keep their kind of heart in check on that?
That's a great question, Sam. And I think it really comes back to really defining what you really, really want, and then really seeing it in what, again, we break into: short-term, mid-term, long-term vision, right? If you think about going on a trip or driving a car, if you were trying to drive from LA all the way to New York, right? That's a pretty long ride. And sometimes it's going to be at night, and you just need to remember that your headlights are going to shine, you know, 50 feet in front of the vehicle. And when you get to that part, they're going to shine another 50 feet and then another 50 feet. And eventually you can get all the way to New York. I think real estate is the same way. You got to measure your progress. You got to have benchmarks for success. You got to have goals and statistics and measurements that allow you to say, am I on track or am I off track? And if you're on track, keep going. And if you're off track, we call that course correcting. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Great. Thank you for that answer. The third pillar, we've got the first two: limiting beliefs. Two is a lack of strategic plan. The third one is?
You betcha. This is a big one, Sam. This is what I call number three: a lack of systems for support, right? So we can get rid of the limiting beliefs. We can create the plan. But if you're not building out systems, if you're not defining roles and responsibilities of the partners, if you're not leveraging technology, you're going to be, you know, creating the wheel or trying to recreate the wheel on the fly. And that's not how real estate works. We look for tried and true systems that are solid, that are repeatable, that give us measurement and data, you know, to help us go out there and win the game of real estate. And that could be systems in finding deals. That could be systems in raising capital. That could be systems in, you know, running the asset or managing the business plan. There's a ton of different, you know, things that we need to do to put the right people in the right seats on the bus. And again, that's one of the things that I really love helping people build out, so that they don't have to kind of do it, you know, on the fly.
And that's a tough one, because it gets in this business, there's constantly things in flux. There's constantly new things that needed to get added on or taken off the plate. And those systems are constantly evolving. And I think that's probably any business owner's greatest struggle.
You bet, especially in today's world. So I'll give you a nod for sharing that, because again, it's a very actively managed process, right? We not only do that, but we take a look at, well, what are your strengths? What is your skill set? What are you really good at? What do you love doing? And conversely, what are you not really good at doing, right? What is something that you should be outsourcing to a partner or a virtual assistant or something else? You know, and to be transparent, for me, Sam, I'm all about finding deals. I love to go out there and hunt for deals. I love to talk to brokers, right? I love to raise capital. But if you really want to know, I'm not the guy you want underwriting the deal. That's for some of you guys that can really, you know, work the Excel spreadsheet. Can I do it? Sure. Is it something I love doing? Not so much. Is that good or bad, right or wrong? Well, again, I say nothing has meaning until you assign it a meaning. And I'd rather go out there and find deals and raise money any day.
Right. That's fantastic. I love that. So 1, 2, and 3: beliefs, plan, systems. Number 4.
You got it, Sam. And number four is what I call poor time management. Poor time management, because here's the truth. After working, you know, as with as many people as I have and doing 25,000 coaching calls, and that is an actual statistic, I've literally seen people take their 168 hours a week, and that's what we all have. You know, 7 times 24 is 168 hours. Now we sleep for some of those. We eat, we pay the bills, we play with the kids, right? But what are you doing with the leftover time you've got? And it doesn't matter if you're in a W-2 job and you've got to do real estate on the side, or if you're a full-time real estate investor. I found year over year that the quality of the output of the time people were spending on their real estate didn't yield, you know, what it could have, because people get busy doing what we call busy work. You know, they're making their website pretty and printing their business cards and playing around with market data, and instead of getting out there and doing what I call the high impact, high income activities, like getting in front of brokers, right? Making offers, right? Talking to landlords, talking to property managers, finding out how to get those off-market deals that got a lot of meat on that bone, right? But until people stop and take a look at how they're using time and what their beliefs are on time, you can't course correct it. So people love doing that with me.
Yeah. I mean, you're hitting home on that one, I think, for almost anybody who's on it.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's an iterative process. You're constantly going, wait, you know, put this on the plate, take it off the plate, put it on the plate. No, what do I do with this? Oh, this shouldn't be on the plate at all. I think one of the resources that, you know, what was it? Deep Work. Who is that? Cal Newport. I think that's right. I mean, that's a great book on using your time wisely. And if it doesn't fit into that deep work block or that deep work category, it's like, why am I doing this?
That's it. We call it your zone of genius, right?
Right.
And so some people really are smart and have a good IQ. Some have a big EQ. That's emotional quotient. Some have a real creative, you know, flair, and they love staging properties. I mean, it doesn't matter what asset class you're in. You know, you got to crystallize or crystal clearly define what you should be doing and what you should be leveraging to other people.
Right, right. I love that. That's fantastic. The fifth point, please.
The fifth and final one, again, is really a lack of execution and a lack of accountability. Because we can get rid of your limiting beliefs. We can create the strategic plan. We can create systems for support. We can even help you with time management. But if you're not out there taking intelligent and inspired action, you're fooling yourself, right? And intelligent means smart. Inspired means you get fired up to go do it. I mean, you don't have to do real estate. I believe we all get to do real estate. And again, it's one of the greatest wealth vehicles known to man. People been, you know, fighting over land for thousands of years and going to war over land. And I hope we don't have to go to war anytime soon. But I think the people that really are smart enough and savvy enough to see that people need places to live and that that's never going to go away can really benefit from a time that we're in right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely key there. What would you say are some ways that you have found you keep yourself accountable?
Again, I think that it's not rocket science, right? You sometimes not only have to define what you want, but also define what we call duration of time or deadlines. Let me explain both. We'll start with a deadline. A deadline is literally you drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, by such and such a date, I will have identified three great markets. I will have looked at job growth, population growth, crime rates, whatever it is. And you set a deadline to have something done and you hold yourself accountable to that, or you and your partners hold yourselves accountable, or a coach like myself can hold you accountable to what we call a deadline. Duration, on the other hand, is almost taking an educated guess about how long you need to spend time on something. So exactly, you know, if I was going to go into any major city in the US, I'd fly down there and I'd create a duration of 3 days to drive around, to talk to brokers, to talk to general contractors or property managers. I'd talk to the milkman. I'd talk to the mailman. I'd do anything I could in that 3 day duration to give myself, Sam, what I call the competitive edge. And I really do believe that the best way to, you know, get really proficient at this is go out there and talk to as many people as you can, knowing that, you know, sometimes 80% of what you talk about isn't going to help you, but 20% of it is going to absolutely skyrocket your ability to make decisions and be successful.
I think that's so spot on. just because the 80-20 rule won. And then I think back to my own journey in real estate. And I think about all the time at foreclosure auctions and all the time just driving and talking and like just all seemed wasted. And I have a few key memories from a few conversations that were like aha moments. We go, oh, right. It was just, but you had to be there.
Yeah, I love that. Sure. In fact, hindsight being 20/20, you got to go back and look at, you know, how do these five things really affect you? You know, if you had limiting beliefs, do you still have them or have you moved beyond them? And I don't think we ever really clear out all of them, right? Do you create a plan? Do you create systems for support? Are you open to, you know, seeing a better way to do things with your time? And are you executing and then holding yourself or having someone hold you accountable? Because really, this is what I have seen my clients go out there and rinse and repeat over and over and over again to climb, you know, up that real estate, you know, growth curve or mountain to where they've built fairly sizable portfolios in all facets, whether it's single family, multifamily, assisted living, mobile home parks, self-storage, agriculture. Because again, it doesn't matter, you know, what asset class you're in. It's that those five things are applicable to all of them and more.
Right. No, that's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. When you look to the future, what do you want your investing and coaching business to look like? You know, you get this 1, 5, and 10 year plan. I'm sure you've got that figured out for you as well. What is that?
Well, again, it's constant and never ending growth, right? Growth of impact, growth of income, growth of units, cycling through deals. Maybe we've got some 5 year business plans on a property that we fully cycle. Some of them are cycling early because of this, you know, tremendous stuff going on in, say, Austin, Texas right now, where, you know, our 5 year deals and proformas are wrapping up in 3 to 4 years. So we're getting out of those and putting our money to work in other markets like Florida, Indiana, Memphis, the Carolinas. We've gone into, you know, in a fairly sizable way. So it's really just seeing constant and never ending growth, as well as constant never-ending learning and bringing more people into the space. Because Sam, I'm a big believer that it's not all about competition, right? It's about collaboration, and that there's enough real estate and enough piece of the pie to go around for all of us. And the more hungry and the more passionate some people are, well, they're going to get the piece of pie first. But it doesn't mean that if you're straggling behind or you're up against a wall or you haven't found the right partners or you're afraid to raise capital, that you can't start going to more meetups, listening to more podcasts, going to more real estate events. And eventually, you know, that high tide lifts all boats, because I do believe that we become who we hang out with. And again, I know who some of the people are that you hang out with, and you know, some of the people I hang out with. And I really have a belief that we're all better together. That is, I can learn from you like you can learn from me, or I can learn from Joe Fairless like he can learn from me. And I'm telling you, that's what really makes this whole economy work.
It's so true. That's so true. And I find that no more apparent actually than in real estate. I think that was one of the things coming from other industries, how collaborative this industry is. You know, there's some others that are, and it's still competitive. Don't get me wrong. There's still competition, and then they're still duking it out for a deal. But it, by and large, you can get on a podcast like this. And I mean, what other industry are you doing that in when people are telling you exactly the blueprint for how to go do their own business?
That's lovely. And I love that. And remember, competition is literally what allows us to roll up our sleeves, get up a little earlier, you know, read more books and show up ready to play full out. It's like sports. You know, it'd be terrible if a hockey match was going to be considered a tie at the end of the game. No one would go to watch it, right? Because, you know, it really speaks to what Tony Robbins talks about, called your 6 human needs. And at the end of the day, I'll share the 6 human needs, because it's really what's fueling you. It's fueling me. It's fueling the listener. And I do believe that real estate rings the bell for all 6 of these. So can I go into them now?
Sure.
You bet. The first one Robbins talks about is number one, that need for certainty, right? We all need certainty, and we want to be certain that we're going to preserve our capital, that we're investing in a landlord-friendly state, that we're going to be able to execute on the business plan. So we definitely are all driven by that need for certainty. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Number two is the opposite of that. It's the need for uncertainty, also known as variety. That's why I invest in different asset classes. I invest in different states. I've invested in different countries, right? And at the end of the day, I think real estate gives us certainty and it gives us variety. True or true?
Well, for sure.
You bet. That takes us to number three, Sam, which is the need for significance. And significance is that feeling of being unique, important, or special. Some get it by calling themselves a real estate investor. Some get their significance by owning 100 doors or 500 doors or 1,000 doors. Some get it from having a certain net worth. Some get it from, you know, being a capital raiser, and that's their identity. So ultimately, number three is, you know, again, feeling those feelings of some uniqueness, importance, and that you're adding value to others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would tie that one back to your why as well. You know, your significance and your why am I doing this? Those two are very closely related, I would think.
I love you saying that, because if your listener can get out of bed every day, and, you know, sometimes, you know, people's feet hit the floor and they go, oh God, it's morning. I want your feet hit the floor and you get up and you say, good morning, God. Thank you for another opportunity to go out there and do what I love to do. Because I think a lot of the listeners that listen to your show, they're not only hungry for more real estate, they're truly passionate about it. And where there's passion, there's possibility.
Right, right. I love that. What's number four?
Number four is that need for connection. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that we are, as real estate investors, we're connecting with people all day, every day, right? Whether you're, you know, on this podcast, you're talking to brokers, lenders, general contractors, insurance salesmen, landscapers. I mean, come on. What other business do you get to work with so many diversified people to really win the game of real estate? So number four is what we call connection.
Excellent. Excellent. And five?
Five is the need for growth, right? So think about it for a minute. And if I asked you, if a plant isn't growing, ultimately what's happening to it, Sam?
Dying.
Yeah. And we don't want to die. We don't even want to survive. Guys like you and I and the listener, we want to thrive. Well, the only way you're going to thrive is to continually grow every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year. And sometimes we might hit a speed bump and go down a little bit, just like I did in my journey. But that's an opportunity to get up, dust yourself off, and find a different path to go and grow with.
Yeah, I love that. The idea of not just survive, but thrive. That's something I think that all of us aspire to. But something we probably don't think that much about very often is, what does thrive look like?
Yeah, well, thriving comes from getting inspired, maybe having a role model or seeing somebody go do something great. And it's not just in real estate. Maybe you're an Elon Musk fan or a Richard Branson fan, or a Steve Jobs fan, or an Oprah Winfrey fan, or a J.K. Rowling fan. She wrote Harry Potter. So I think that as we see other people going out there and growing and achieving phenomenal levels of success, that there's this little feeling inside of us where that, you know, fire that's in our belly for success isn't just kindling. We throw a log on there because we are meant to go big. We're all meant to grow and become more than we are today than we were yesterday. Does that resonate?
For sure. For sure. What's number six?
The final need, number six, is what we call the need for contribution. Contribution. We've got to get out of bed every day and ask ourselves, how can we give ourselves an opportunity to better the planet, or better someone else, or better a community, or better, you know, investors, or better a property? Because at the end of the day, I'll tell you, if you're able to meet all six of these six human needs consistently, you know what it leads to? It leads to fulfillment. Fulfillment. And that is what I've literally been able to find after doing as many calls as I've done. And, you know, looking at my journey, at the end of the day, we just all want to be fulfilled. And I believe that real estate gives us, you know, certainty, variety, significance, connection, growth, and contribution. So if you're really in it to win it, and you're thinking about those things and on an upward trajectory, I believe that you can be incredibly fulfilled from this as well.
I think that's a good point, giving the recipe for fulfillment versus, because a lot of times we'll piecemeal it together. At least I know I'm guilty of it. Like, oh, here's the vision. Well, the vision, and it's funny because I had a vision I'd written out some, you know, hey, in 5 to 10 years, wouldn't this be great? And I keep a daily journal and, you know, things like that. And I read it every day. And one day I was like, this is really empty. Like, if I hit this someday, I'm going to be really disappointed, I think, when I get there. And I was like, scratch that. I kind of made some notes on it because didn't have in the end that fulfillment component, right? And so I think it's neat that defining your why, going through those six things that you just mentioned, is really the recipe, right? Follow this recipe and you will find fulfillment. So I think that's really powerful.
Well, it really is. And I think that I love what you said there, because I think that once we set a goal, you know, and sometimes people will set small goals or medium goals or gigantic goals, right? The goal isn't just about achieving the goal. It's who you become on the way to achieving that goal. And guess what? When you get to that point where you have achieved that goal, it's the universe's way of saying, okay, it's time to set another one. And it's time to set another one. It's kind of like, you know, when we all worked in corporate you know, for most of us, we said, wow, if we could just make $100,000 a year, that would be incredible, right? As some people make 30, 40, 50, 60, 80,000. If they could just get to 100, that'd be amazing. And then what do you do when you get to making 100 grand a year? You want to make 200. And then when you make 200, you want to get to 300 or 500 or a million. Well, it's the same thing for people in real estate. Once you achieve that goal, if you don't sit down and define what the next goal is, you're in trouble because you get into that place where we plateau. And it's okay to take a breather and maybe rest and celebrate for a while. But I'm telling, if you're a driven person and you're a high performer, I bet there's another level for you to get to. It's almost like what I teach, and you've heard me talk about this before, where I say, why be good when you could be great? Or why be great when you could be excellent? Or why stay at excellent when you could be outstanding? Or if you want to be, you know, somebody that goes to, you know, one of the highest levels, we go from outstanding to extraordinary or extraordinary. So I invite you, I invite the listener to take an inventory of where you're showing up on that level. Are you good, great, excellent, outstanding, or extraordinary in looking for deals, underwriting properties, raising capital, running the business plan? And if you're, you know, lower down that ladder than you want to be, ask yourself, not what do I need to do, but who do I need to be in order to get into taking intelligent and inspired action to climb that ladder in all areas? You don't need to be at the level of outstanding or extraordinary in everything, but certainly you want to be playing above the line.
I love that. That's great. That's great. Coach, let's jump here into some final questions.
Absolutely.
If you were to help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Don't try to go it alone, folks. I mean, real estate is not a one-man band. It's really you aligning with other like-minded individuals that, you know, have a passion and a purpose where, you know, you combine your efforts to really go further faster. I always have this saying, and it comes from Tony Robbins, that if you really surround yourself with the right people, you can turn decades into days. And it's absolutely true because each of you is bringing a certain skill set, a certain mindset, and yes, a certain heart set to the deal.
Right, right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, it's amazing because we have a big charitable, you know, foundation that my wife and I do, you know, not only in real estate, but with her publishing company, because she's an author, a speaker, and a coach. And so literally what we do is we take some of the money that we earn in real estate and we go back and we give to certain charities. And for every book she sells, she plants a sapling tree somewhere on this earth. And we planted trees in California, Oregon, British Columbia, Washington State, Australia, and even as far away now as Africa. So it's amazing.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Coach, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, thank you for having me on. And this has been an amazing conversation. I hope the listeners get some real juice out of it. And for anyone that wants to connect, you can either find me on my website, which is simply trevormcgregor.com, or head over to LinkedIn. You'll find me there, and I invite anyone that wants to chat further to shoot me a message. I've also introduced something really cool on my website just in the last few months, which is called a private podcast. And a private podcast is where I literally give 8 weeks of absolutely unbelievable coaching for any investor that wants to go further faster. And I give it to you at a ridiculous price where it's almost a no-brainer. So for anyone that wants to, you know, check out my private podcast, it's called Rich Beyond Belief. And it's really all about using real estate and a lot of these concepts I've spoken about to absolutely go out there and crush it in business, real estate, and in life.
Trevor, thank you so much. Do appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.